Welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. I'm bringing you guys the latest world news every day right to your doorstep. And, you know, all the health topics you can possibly take. As much as I love all the health stuff, there's a lot of world stuff that happens, so I try to keep them, you know, based on both. But again, at the end of the day, this is Health Masters, so I appreciate the support, guys. You got me again today. Buckle up. We got a whole lot of topics we're going to be covering. Ted has decided that he needed a break for a bit, much needed. So I'll be running solo probably today and tomorrow again for him, which I don't mind doing. I actually like doing solo sometimes because I can just hammer it out. And you guys know I'm fast-paced. I'll try to slow it down for you. I've gotten multiple emails that ask me not to talk so fast. Most of you know I run off pretty much sheer, you know, Fit Food Protein, Purple Sticks, Tension Factor, and Pure Rage. Rage, that part was a joke. And so I talk quick, I get things done, and I move fast. So bear with me. I'll try to keep it a little slowed down for you guys, but stay on top of it. This is going to be a good show again, as always. And once again, you guys voted. Talked about it yesterday very briefly. The N-acetylcysteine, one of the most effective antioxidant detox support formulas on the market. You guys voted it. It won product of the week. I put it on 24% off. I just got a fresh batch of this stuff in. It supports glutathione production, providing powerful antioxidant defense against oxidative stress. Really, really helps with the respiratory health. That's one of the biggest factors that a lot of people don't realize with it is it always is driven as a liver detoxifiant, which it is insanely good for that. However, what it does as far as for the lungs is also really important. And it really helps out as far as with natural mucus production and then detoxifying and pulling toxins out. This is a key product. I also tell people if you're trying to come off cigarettes or if you're not smoking or trying to stop smoking or you have been smoking, this product is great to really detox as an antioxidant powerhouse. So be sure to read about it on the website at healthmasters.com. It'll be on sale for the next week, and you guys can vote and see what you want to win next. And this has been one of the ones, if you guys have seen this, we've been updating all the product profiles. And so we go in detail here and talk about the key benefits on the site, what makes NAC stand out, what's inside, how to take it, what is this for, frequently asked questions, and then we have the customer reviews at the bottom. So if you've noticed on some of these, when we're doing this to all of them, we're trying to be as, you know, explorative in the topic of the product and go into detail on every question that we get asked. So nobody has to ask more questions about it. We have all the information right there at your fingertips on the site. So thank you for getting with us on that. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your feedback. And I have gotten an enormous amount of response on the VIP package from what I talked about yesterday as far as building basically pretty much a subscription every month that brings a lot of different cool things in one package. So it's like a monthly fee, but then you get expedited shipping on your orders, which is like 1 to 2 day shipping. It's going to get you like 1.5 or 2 times the points. It's going to get you other perks on there and pre-sales. So I'm putting something together on that, and I'll bring it to you guys once it's together. I just got to make sure I got all the bugs worked out of it so it's not having any glitches, which that'll be pretty easy because I got Michael Barrett as my marketing director, and we're on the website, and he is exceptional at doing stuff like that. So stay on top of it. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. That way you can get updates because when I do have something rolled out, I will have sent an email out to everybody so you guys have the opportunity to get involved. And also, too, make sure you're following us on thebrowershow.com so you can get all your updated news right to your door, right to your inbox, I should say. I don't know why I keep saying door. I'm not hand-delivering them, nor am I delivering mail because mail's just antiquated now. I think everybody's so tired of getting mailbox, just junk mail. I don't even know how effective it would be to do, you know, direct mail marketing and mailboxes anymore. So email's the new way. Phone number as well. You put your phone number in on your platform, and we're going to be sending stuff to your text if you want that. That's the next phase we're bringing in. But be sure to get your updates on here, and you can also download the MP3s. Bring it to you guys as easily and as effectively and as swiftly as I can on the site. So, anyways, without further ado, let's get into some health topics here that I had pulled up. And yesterday, I want to finish covering this because we ran out of time. And we talked in detail about ADHD yesterday. Ritalin, Adderall, both being scheduled to drugs, same category as morphine. But now it's starting to come out now, and this is one of the first of its kind, is that ADHD medication may not actually improve attention at all. It says a study of nearly 6,000 children shows Ritalin and Adderall activated the brain's reward center rather than attention networks, challenging the long-held beliefs. And so it goes to detail talking about, says, rather than sharpening attention, stimulants appear to help people with ADHD feel more awake, care more about a task, and stick with it by affecting other brain regions. Children's stimulants had increased brain connectivity linked to wakefulness and reward. However, there was no change in the actual attention factor when they did brain scans. Excuse me, attention factor. That's before I slipped. Brain's attention networks. It says to validate their findings, researchers gave five healthy adults with ADHD who don't take medication 40 milligrams of Ritalin. Scanned their brains before and after. The results matched. The medications activated the brain's arousal and reward centers, not the attention centers. So imagine that. It worked like other stimulant drugs, essentially making you have arousal and reward centers, but not necessarily the attention centers. The findings suggest that hyperactivity and ADHD may be less about too much movement and more about searching for something more rewarding to do. The researchers hypothesized that stimulants reduce the urge to leave one task for another by making the task feel more worthwhile. Whatever kids can't focus on, that task that makes them fidgety, are tasks that they find unrewarding. On a stimulant, they sit still better because they're not getting up to find something better to do. The findings align with what pharmacologists already understood about these medications. It says, we're going into detail here, essentially of the stimulants are basically turning up the volume of the reward system so that folks cannot control their attention, can use that extra sense reward together to things that are hard to focus on. Now, here's the other problem with this. It says research found that stimulant medication offsets a lot of other issues with sleep. So because it basically burns both ends of the candle, we talked about this yesterday, Adderall in children and or adults will allow you to get more things done essentially sometimes and overstimulate the brain. Here's what happens when you do it with young children, though. When they're talking about this and that it basically helps them with the reward center on it, the problem with it is on a long-term scale enough, when the kids can't do anything and get anything done without taking a kind of stimulant. The brain actually starts to make new connections and develops on these drugs in a manner that when they start becoming teenagers and adults, if they're not taking some form of stimulant like Adderall or Ritalin or something similar to that, they don't want to do anything. Everything seems dull. Everything seems boring. Everything seems non-rewarding. I've seen this now with multiple people that I've known over the years, and they've come to me and asked me, they said, dude, if I don't take these stims, because they had them for years, I don't take Adderall, essentially I don't get anything done. Everything's just boring. I have no motivation. And I said, well, that's the problem. I said, a lot of those pathways in your brain now are cooked because the body grew up with them for years. So when you get older, the brain doesn't want to do anything unless it's getting a stimulant. Everything feels unrewarding. This is why it's so important to really analyze and evaluate these drugs before you start giving them to young kids, because they have much more long-term side effects than anybody understands and realizes. And especially when you start talking about the reward center of the brain, utilizing that, overstimulating that for a decade in a developmental phase of a child's life, the long-term effects are very, very significant, and this is why it's so important to make sure you ask questions on this. If you need something that really helps out and is similar to the effects of this without any side effects and is a much more natural approach, that's what the Ultimate Focus Stack was for. That was my personal favorite that I put together years ago that works really good. Essentially, one purple stick with two attention factor, 30 minutes beforehand, and I tell them around there, don't exceed two purple sticks and four attention factor. So basically try to limit it, not more than that. Your four attention factor and two purple sticks in total aggregate, you know, in two different sittings, that's about as far as you want to go on this. I've exceeded that dosage before. I don't really recommend it. It starts becoming too much. So if you like that kit, if you like that stack, if you're trying to come off these stimulants, if there's something you used in the past and you're trying to replicate them similarly without the negative side effects, without the addictive properties, without the issues with sleep, without all the concepts of it, this is the stack to try. So be sure to check it out. If you like it, leave some reviews on it and keep me updated and let everybody else know how it works for you as well. And of course, right now, I'm back on vanilla. I told you guys, I've been on a vanilla kick with this Fit Food for the last like 2 weeks now. I don't know why. I guess I've drunk chocolate for like, I don't know, 5-6 years. So I had some vanilla come in. We had a lot more vanilla than we had chocolate. And I was like, well, I'll switch over to vanilla for a while. And I can tell you, honestly, the vanilla, as it doesn't look quite as appealing in a shaker. It's, you know, white with the purple sticks in it. This is 3 scoops of Fit Food with 2 purple sticks. Full disclosure. And that is really good, actually. It's better than the purple sticks and the chocolate. I've been so, you know, accustomed to drinking the chocolate with the purple sticks that I got used to it. But this actually has a much more, like, smoothie flavor with the vanilla and the purple sticks. I figured I'd just, you know, over-explain that for you guys on here because I'm pretty hungry this morning. I've been getting a lot of stuff done. Now, another article here I'm going to bring up here in a second. What was it put up here? Right here, yes. I'm going to go into detail on this in a second. This is the new autism advisors who set their sights on many unanswered questions. And this is a really good article. I'm going to detail here in a second. So I'm going to read it to you guys and go into detail on what's actually happening with it. Oh, yes. That Fit Food is good. Okay, here we go. Without further ado, 9 new members that have joined the Interagency Autism Coordinating Committee, which provide advice and recommendations on autism in the U.S. And I'm going to say something. I really don't understand why it took so long to put this together. And I'm not talking about RFK Jr. I'm talking about for the last 2 decades. When you have something like autism that has become so stinking prevalent, I should say so horrifically prevalent, and it's growing at such a rate, and all the physicians and all the doctors go, we have no idea what's happening. We can't figure it out. But we're not looking, so we definitely can't figure it out. It was one of the most bizarre things to me because I've read stuff, I've looked at things, I've read research articles, I've talked to doctors. They go, we can't explain it. It's a phenomenon. Autism exploding exponentially. You're about to look at what maybe we're injecting into the kids. Maybe look at the massive increase of ultra-processed food that they're eating. Maybe look at the massive amount of sugar that they're consuming with food coloring. I don't know. Maybe research some of that. Oh, no, we can't figure it out because we have nothing to research. Bull crap. This entire thing, in my opinion, has been slowly covered up, if not ignored, to make sure that nobody talks about what's really happening here. And it says the executive director of the Autism Action Network said they're picking up the pieces following a generation of profound failure. This is why I just said that. It's been an utter failure in researching, examining, and identifying the root causes of this and why it's been going on for so long with everyone ignoring it. Goes on to say here, the Interagency Coordinating Committee, which is now going in and looking, and this is the list of individuals that are on it now, on the new individuals in the committee, if you want to look at this. I'll post this on the website so you guys can read more of it. It's a very interesting article, especially if you're intrigued on this topic and you're trying to figure out how to help more people with it. It says, wonderful news, there are now people on the committee who are truly motivated to solve many of the existential autism issues, including prevention, treatment, education, employment, long-term housing, and so on. So it says they require the committee to consist of at least 3 members who are autistic. That's interesting. 3 who are parents or legal guardians of someone on the spectrum, and at least 3 members who represent organizations active in autism advocacy. That's a very interesting thing to do, but I like the factor of it because you're getting a broad spectrum of individuals who have different knowledge bases and different life experiences on this topic and are going to be able to bring different scenarios, ideas, and concepts to this group. That was a fantastic idea, by the way. Then it says they're picking up the pieces of a generation of profound failure. A small coalition of people in the IAC are influencing the direction of federal funding, orienting private organizations in crucial ways. And it goes into detail here about what they're doing. It says after 15 years of looking, researchers haven't identified genetic cause of autism. We'd like to see the IAA focus on environmental causes of autism, including vaccines, Gilmore said, as he's opposed to the most exclusive focus on heritable genes. He said after more than 15 years, they're not finding it, which means it's obviously primarily basically an outside factor that's causing this now. And he goes into detail saying, looking at the root causes of this between the vaccines, between the foods, between the pesticides, the herbicides, and all these different things that we're having continual exposure to. This is a comprehensive review of 300 studies published in October 2025, and I covered this when it came out, identified vaccination as the leading modifiable risk factor for autism. Another study published last year found that vaccinated children have 170% higher chance of being diagnosed with autism compared to unvaccinated children. And so this article's really going into detail of what they're doing now, what this group's doing. So I'll post it for you guys. I'm not going to cover it all day on here, but I want you guys to look at it if you're intrigued in it, because this is something to follow and understand that I'm really glad they're actually looking at this. And then switching gears to the other side of the country, but on a similar topic, blind compliance. California's threatened funding for schools with low vaccination rates. Of course they are. California's auditing 428 schools with low vax rates amid declining vaccination levels for kindergartners and a rise of measles cases. They're blaming on the unvaccinated. It's always our fault, right? Remember in COVID? Remember when they came on national television? They all said this dozens and dozens of times. They said, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. The only reason that COVID's spreading is because you haven't got your shot. And people go, we got our shot. We got the RNA shot. Yeah, but your shot doesn't work unless I get my shot. We both have to get shots for the shot to work. What? That doesn't make sense. Please do explain. Yeah, you don't get it. You don't understand science, Austin. So why? You didn't get your shot, Austin, so my shot doesn't work. So I didn't take Sudafed this morning, so your allergies are still acting up? How the heck is that supposed to work? That isn't even based in anything remotely scientific. Oh, no, you don't trust the science. Well, of course, this is what they're saying here now, because God forbid we have natural immunity to measles. God forbid we have lifelong immunity. Oh, no, no, no. You got to make sure you get 5-6 injections over a period of 5-6 years, and then still a lot of the kids become sick with it. They said California requires children to be vaccinated for public and private school attendance, requires proof of vaccination. This immunization is required. They give all the shots on it. They said they reported 62 schools lost funding in 3 years because they did not meet their vaccination threshold in California. This is the crazy part to me, because California operates in a massive deficit every single year. I mean, they can't function without the federal government. They're insolvent, completely insolvent. And yet they demand the federal government give them more money every year. But then California comes in and goes, oh, by the way, we're taking all your funding away because you haven't met our threshold. Kind of like they're bribing people, or how should I say, giving them negative sanctions to schools if they don't meet their vaccination threshold. But at the same time, if the U.S. government does it to them, because they do unbelievably stupid stuff in that corrupt government out there, they pitch a fit and sue the U.S. government. We want our money. We need more sanctuary cities. Unbelievable. California, it's not rules for thee and not for me. Sorry, guys. You guys don't need any more funding whatsoever. And so another one that I wanted to cover here, going into another detail here, was an article. Oh, yes. Gold. I don't know what's going on with this, guys. I cover it every single day. Continuous contracts. We're at $5,500 this morning. We're up another $200 an ounce. Silver was at $120. The dollar's dropping precipitously in the last week. And so people are asking me the question, do they think that this is one of those, you know, fear of missing out factors where so many people are buying into because the market's going up so rapidly? Or is this really the first phase in what we've talked about for decades, is the U.S. dollar in a true collapse and people are moving their money into metals now? And in my opinion, it could be a little bit of both. I have to watch a little bit more on it and see where it's going. Right now, we're seeing a record rates. I mean, every day, things have dropped. But things have dropped in the dollar, and they're going up in the metals. And this is an article that kind of made me laugh. It was funny, though, and it went into detail here. I'll show you guys. And I had it here a second ago. And it was going into detail on what was going on with gold and essentially why in the world so many people are moving into it. It was right here. Here we go. It says gold soaring so fast, it's topped a Goldman Sachs target set just last week. You guys remember J.P. Morgan, I talked about it. Last year, they said they expected gold to be at $4,900 by the beginning of this year. Then the end of last year, they came out and said, okay, we expect it to be $5,400 by sometime next year in 2026. Well, now they changed their analysis, and they said they're expecting it to be at $8,500 this year. That's a big number, guys, for an ounce of gold. And the article's really funny here. This is funny. Let me read it. There we go. Says way back in the olden times, 7 days ago, Goldman Sachs lifted its year-end gold price to $5,400 from $4,900. Fast forward a week, and the yellow metal hit $5,500 this morning, almost doubling from just 12 months ago. They said its gold has gone truly parabolic, as has the entire precious metal complex. Coinbase, which is based on a lot as far as with cryptos, added copper and platinum futures to its platform, giving a clear indication that the metals move is now being driven by decidedly retail crowd of investors. Who needs Fartcoin, down 83% from its July peak, when you can trade metals that have been popular for 6,000 years? Says, so a new note from JP Morgan Global Strategy is worth considering. There's a lot of talk about gold replacing to some degree the bond portion of a balanced portfolio. With the run-it-hot, norm-trampling policies from the Trump administration, the perception is that the biggest risk is inflation and currency debasement over an outright recession the bonds would protect against. This is now the first time I have seen MarketWatch start talking about replacing your bond portion in your portfolio with gold. If you guys remember, just about a year ago, most of the articles on gold were calling it relics when it was at $2,500, $2,600 an ounce. They kept saying that the returns on gold were abysmal, that it hasn't moved anything significant over the last 20 years, that it's just slowly sliding up because of inflation, and that the market's not going to do anything. It's going to recorrect and be back in the teens. That's what they were saying a year, year and a half ago on gold. Silver wasn't even talked about. They're like, silver, that's an industrial metal. Whatever. We make solar panels out of it. Nobody cares. Silver's at 20 an ounce. Leave it alone. I talked about, you watched my show from a year and a half ago, and I told you guys, I said, there will be a certain point in time where all these analysis have to eat their own words. I said, because the metal market has not even come close to correcting on the inflationary rate of what we saw during COVID for the trillions of dollars that were injected into the market. So, interesting world we live in now. It's almost getting rather creepy. When you start seeing JP Morgan plot that silver is going to be $8,500 an ounce, that would essentially mean put silver at the current rate, it would put silver between $2,225 an ounce. However, also too, there's also a factor to this, is that when you start seeing metals hit a certain level, there is going to be a massive sell-off. Let's just be real on it. If you have silver at $200 an ounce, and the vast majority of your portfolio you bought at $20 an ounce, and you just 10x'd it, a lot of people are going to liquidate it. It's just a matter of fact, because they're going to go, gosh, I'm going to move into this. I'm going to move this. I'm going to buy property with it. I'm going to commercial real estate with it. I'm going to buy something because the doggone returns are so high. So you are going to see at some point people are going to cash out, and you're going to have some investors with enormous portfolios that have been holding this stuff for a while, and even in the silver, even in the physical market. You know, there is a shortage of this metal, but you got to remember there are also massive stores, massive strategic stores of some of these metals in certain countries, in certain investors, in certain banks that they move this stuff around. So when it hits certain numbers and when it's coming up this fast, you're going to see when it corrects some, you're going to see a massive sell-off at some point where you're going to have some people inject an enormous amount. Does that mean it's not going to keep going up? No, it doesn't mean that. It means you're going to see a correction because every market always corrects at some point. And so don't be in that phase where you're just constantly chasing the buy run. Because somebody asked me last night, so should I go buy it right now? I said, that's up to you. I said, is it going to keep going up? Yes. There is no question about it. It will continue to uptrend over a long period of time. Is it going to correct soon? I don't know. Not going to give you financial advice on it. But when you start seeing rates jump this high, as far as levels jump this high, there's always a correction at some point. And so you just got to decide and make your own, essentially your own gamble on it, to be honest with you. You have to figure out when you want to run it back, when you want to sell it, when you want to buy more. It's completely up to you on there. But I knew one thing. This is delicious this morning. The double purple stick and the vanilla really hit. Gives it a nice berry flavor on there. You can tell I'm on attention factor, so I'm over-explaining everything so much right now. You guys, look at this right here. This is what I wanted to cover. You know, yesterday we talked some more about what happened in Minnesota. I'm not going to cover a ton of it, because a lot of it's theater. However, this is something that has come up now, and I warned about this. I warned about this with the BBB bill last year, and I was trying to talk to some representatives to try to make sure that bill didn't go through when it first came out. I was diametrically opposed to it. Then they came out and tried to get all the Second Amendments on that page because they said, we're going to pull everything off the NFA list. No longer registration, no longer tax filing, you know, tax stamps on suppressors, SBRs, all that stuff. Well, of course, at the very end, they bamboozled everybody, and all they do is pull a tax stamp off. They still want you to register a silencer, suppressor. that has no tax stamp, but put it on a database and get approval for it for an accessory. Stupid as it gets. So everybody got bamboozled on it. And I said, there's a reason why they're pumping $160 billion into ICE. Where the number was, $120 billion, but they bumped it up on there. I don't have the exact number in front of me. But like ICE and Border Patrol and DHS got enormous injection of cash. That's why they're giving new ICE agents $50,000 signing bonuses if you're below a certain age. They're paying off your student debt at a certain pace, certain rate. And I'm sitting there going, okay, are we doing something as far as with real Border Patrol? Are we doing something with extracting these migrants that are illegals, that are causing issues in the country out? We're all about it. You know, that was the entire topic that Trump ran in on when he got elected. He said, we're getting the violent criminals, these killers, these rapists, these child traffickers, this unbelievable surge of low-life individuals, we're pulling them out of the country. These guys are completely and totally out of control. They do not deserve to be here, period. They are not legally here. They need to be extracted out. We had, you know, individuals that basically had gotten killed at college campuses and that basically had asked, you know, what's going on? Why are these individuals having so much, you know, freedom to run around? Like the one guy that basically murdered the girl in Athens, Georgia. Horrific incident, the nurse. And so he ran on that topic. And 100% of law-abiding citizen Americans said, yeah, this is out of control. We want these people out. So that got the ICE contracts and the DHS contracts and all this money injected into that area, and it exploded. And I told you guys, I said, this is a problem because now they're saying that they're going to start doing full surveillance in the BBB bill. That was part of the cash that got injected into it. Unless I go any further, here's the thing. They're talking about it now. ICE admits to admitting basically to the database Americans and creating a social credit score. We have a nice little database, and now you're considered a domestic terrorist, allegedly now. That's what it's saying. It says ICE is deploying a new tool called Elite, powered by Palantir, to track Americans and illegals using predictive models and scores to determine when someone might travel so ICE can make arrests. Let's see here. Inject these stupid cookies. All right, I'm back at it now. Last week, a clip on social media went viral that depicts an ICE agent in Portland, Maine, telling a woman that she has photographed, filmed, and placed in a database and considered a domestic terrorist. She said, why are you taking my information down? Because we have a nice little database, and now you're considered a domestic terrorist. This appears to be a recurring thing with ICE. According to Ken Kippelstein, a federal law enforcement official with ICE, told investigative journalists that DHS has ordered immigration officers to gather identity information about anyone filming them and send that information to Intel, who will do a workup on them, meaning trying to identify them via social media, running their license plate, and running a criminal history check, federal source explained. The directive is part of a sweeping nationwide effort by U.S. immigration authorities to identify anyone trying to film their conduct. This includes not just ICE, but all DHS agencies like Border Patrol as well. The ultimate goal is to also create a list of anti-ICE protesters, which essentially can be organized into another network. The remark doesn't just bravado or trolling. In addition to what sources at DHS are telling, David Beer, director of immigration studies at Cato Institute, said last month, pulling together reams of incidences similar to the one in Portland, the report concludes that DHS has a formal policy of intimidating people trying to film them on dubious legal grounds, that doing so amounts to impeding federal enforcement. And this is a topic that I brought up with one of my buddies the other day, because he was running, ranting about how ICE has to be doing this and that. And I said, I'm not disagreeing with you as far as with going in and extracting lives of illegal aliens. I said, here's the problem that I'm starting to see now with a lot of this footage and a lot of stuff that's coming out. Whether or not you agree with people that are anti-ICE or their protests or all the stupid little behavior that a lot of people are exhibiting, at the end of the day, that is a constitutional right to exert. Now, going in and getting in fights or throwing Molotov cocktails or throwing rocks at agents, that's a completely different story. But I've seen that, and I've also seen just flat basic behavior of recording officers while they're standing there, just watching things. And ICE agents walking up and straight up football shoving people on the ground while they're recording them because they can do so. Now, in any other part of the country at any point in time, if you're standing on the sidewalk, and you're not directly engaging in a confrontation with somebody, law enforcement can't just get out of their patrol car, walk up to you on the sidewalk, ask you for information while you're recording them, and then shove you to the ground. It doesn't work like that. There's an aspect in the United States called freedom of speech and the freedom to travel freely, unmolested on your way. If you're not, so what they're saying is here now, anytime you do anything, if you record an ICE agent, if you stand there looking at an ICE agent, if you say anything verbally to an ICE agent, you're now suddenly impeding a federal investigation. Now it's illegal. They can do anything they want. That's the base that they're talking on here. The problem with that ideology, guys, yes, it may be exhibited primarily towards anti-ICE protesters right now. That can get extremely out of control very quickly, and it can be used against anyone if that precedent is starting to be set now. Look at what happened on January 6th, and look at how that is slowly escalating to the point of what we're starting to see here. We already know Palantir database is everything. We already know basically Flock is recording everything as far as tags. Now we have ICE building databases on everybody. All this stuff is coming to a head. It says ICE agents film arrests both to feed DHS social media blitz and also identify them. The new war on terror is here, and this time Americans are the target. Oof. It says ICE biometric identification predictive algorithms. DHS got a new round of funding last year, new round of funding with the BBB bill. And so the biometric update published a starter report on ICE's AI predictive tool called Elite, powered by Palantir, backed by $160 million in contracts. This is a biometric update. I'll post this on site. You can read all about it. This isn't, you know, speculation or tinfoil hat conspiracy. This is blatantly stated with the contracts they have with Palantir. ICE's dystopian tech enforcement architect is straining longstanding legal boundaries. U.S. immigration enforcement's enhanced leading identification targeting for enforcement, it's called the tool called Elite with Palantir, is being used to identify targets and direct enforcement activity as part of a larger, heavily funded analytics ecosystem by Palantir Technologies. The problem is that relying on probabilistic confidence scores, that's what they're called now, Palantir system, confidence scores, raises fundamental legal questions about warrants, probable cause, and the limits of lawful arrest authority. The system favors neighborhood-scale deployment over address-specific certainty, creating a persistent tension between operational efficiency and constitutional safeguards. Elite is embedded with ICE's data fusion analytics and case management infrastructure by Palantir, converting administrative records into actionable leads by directed enforcement actions. It functions as a geospatial interface rather than a simple lookup tool, and allows officers to visualize, prioritize, and select targets based on location, identity data, and assessments are where individuals are likely to be found. It's a predictive programming model. So they have the information in there, and it starts generating leads on its own with the AI data that it's collecting. And it's sending this to ICE now, saying it's a probable cause by 86% that this individual is in this area at this time. Well, the problem is it's not that accurate, and it's leading to this general basis of ICE agents just swarming around, walking like Gestapo, walking up. Right now, they can legally do this. If I'm driving and I stop somewhere, ICE can legally walk up to me and go, we need to see your documentation that you're an American citizen. We need your driver's license. We need this and this and this. That's what they put the basis on that now. And if you say, no, I'm not doing anything illicit, you're not law enforcement, you're ICE, you're not supposed to be doing law enforcement patrol, you're supposed to be doing directed warrants of illegal individuals that are known, you're not supposed to be doing blanket targeting of American citizens, they can now arrest you for failure to comply or with impeding a federal investigation. So what's going on now is a digital roadmap that's essentially starting to build this entire data system, and selective targets are individually or drawn a boundary around a neighborhood scale area, results are then filtered into categories with location attributions and operational parameters. And so I'm going to put, there's a lot of detail in this article. I'm not going to keep going on it because it's probably gonna be easier for you to understand if you read it. But it essentially is going on here how unbelievably invasive this program is and how it's going into every aspect of people's data and digging into it and then doing predictive modeling. Essentially, this is the, what's the movie called? Minority Report. It's Minority Report on a different level. It's escalating even further now. And so it's something to really be aware of. This is why I tell everybody to protect your privacy as much as possible. There's a lot of groups now, a lot of local groups that are starting to combat, in Florida, that are starting to combat the Flock cameras. Because we have one in Auburndale now, over there by basically Main Street, downtown by this place, a Sonic Burger Place. And downtown, and another one by Lowe's. There's Flock cameras up now. I have verified them. And local municipalities now are getting flat because they're going, why are we allowing private company like Palantir to put cameras up and record information that now law enforcement has access to, but they also sell to third-party individuals? Meaning anybody could go in if you want to do data collection and buy the information from Palantir now for a price and utilize it for whatever you want. Why in the world does law enforcement even have access to this? Why do we have a private organization recording people's movements and tags and behavior for their own profit? That's a problem to me. Not only the invasion of privacy, that's a whole other animal right there, but the fact that we're allowing this to occur, local municipalities, including people involving myself, are pushing back against these to get them removed because they are entirely illegal, in my opinion. Now, there's another aspect here now that's going on in Minnesota, and it's talking about this article that goes in. It says they ran high-level Civil War simulations in Minnesota, and it's exactly how they started. They said since January 6th, roughly 2,000 ICE agents, this is January 6th this year, have been deployed in Minnesota under the pretext of responding to fraud investigations and a lot of stuff that's going on there. And for the most part, there's some serious fraud they need to investigate. It says the public outrage is continuing. However, this scenario is almost mirroring one explored in October 2024. Tabletop exercise conducted by Center for Ethics and Rule of Law at the University of Pennsylvania. In that exercise, they carried out a highly unpopular law enforcement operation in Philadelphia and attempted to federalize Pennsylvania's National Guard. When the governor resisted, the guard remained loyal to the state. The president deployed active duty troops, resulting in an armed conflict between state and federal forces. The core danger we identified is now emerging, a violent confrontation between state and federal forces in American City. Hypothetical scenario picked a different city, a slightly different sequence of events in here, but you're starting to see that now with what's happening. And so it's interesting. It's interesting. They always run these scenarios, you find out, with these big universities. Remember what happened with Operation 201 and the incident that occurred before COVID in 2019. We had the Johns Hopkins Institute come out and did a full tabletop scenario system of a virus being spread, exploding across the entire world like an atomic bomb, people getting infected, and all these things start occurring almost identical as they happen with COVID. They tabletop that scenario in, I think, September, October of 2019. You can look all this up. And what's crazy about it is, then suddenly, what happened February 2020? We saw all this propaganda being put out from China, all this stuff with this virus being released from Wuhan lab, that somebody ate a bat. I mean, it was complete theater. They knew they had been working on the COVID virus in Wuhan. They knew that they already had gain of function for Fort Detrick. They knew what they were working on as far as operational exposure and to get this stuff out there and leak it. They knew the only reason how it was going to be effective is that they got people to take an RNA gene therapy injection that was experimental that DARPA had developed back in the teens that basically killed everything they tested it on. All this was one giant ploy. The virus was real. The flu was real that they basically mutated. The entire story they told us was complete and total fabricated the way it happened. And they did it to get people to take that shot. And once again, you have a scenario, problem, action, solution. We've got illegals and fraud in basically Minnesota. Somalian daycares are making enormous amounts of money, not even operational. Problem, real problem that they created. Then you have the action. We got to send ICE in to basically handle this. You know, okay. Well, what happens now? More violence occurs, more problem occurs. The solution? We start cracking down and preventing anybody from having free speech or freedom of movement. That's the only way to fix this because there's so much turmoil. This is always how the scenario goes, so don't fall prey to it. I always tell people, ask yourself both sides of the aisle, both narratives. Ask you to look at it. Who benefits from this? Who is going to be pushing this the most? Who is going to be trying to make sure they can capitalize on this situation? and then analyze who's really running it behind the scenes. And also, too, in other news, this is something that was interesting here. This is a topic that's going to be interesting because I told you guys, and I brought this up repeatedly, I like history. I also like law. I studied both. I enjoy both. And this is a topic that I was really unsure of last year. And it was the execution of individuals running alleged drug boats out of international water with drone strikes by the U.S. military. Now, I got flack. I did. I talked to people about this. I brought people up in law enforcement. I brought up prior military. I brought up my contractor buddies. I brought up civilian people that I know. And I got mixed reviews on it. You had one side of it, people going, yeah, they're running dope. You can do airstrike on them. Okay? That other people say, no, this is completely violating international law. Just because there's a boat out in the ocean allegedly running drugs, you can't just start doing drone strikes on them. Okay? But what if they are running fentanyl? Right? What if they're running one of those deadly drugs known to man and they're running it to another country to hopscotch it to the United States and American citizens are going to die from fentanyl? From these drugs directly. Do you stop before it happens? Okay. Well, what if they're not running fentanyl? What if they're running weed? What if they got pot in their boats? Okay, so now we're killing people because they have a boat full of pot. What if they got cocaine in it? Well, we're killing people because they got a boat full of cocaine in international water. Where's the line drawn with the behavior on this is acceptable as far as without any due process? If they're really saying these guys are running drugs, we've got the largest naval military in the entire world. We got an amazing, you know, as far as group with some of the most advanced warfare techniques and equipment in the entire world in the Navy. We could sure go and take out these oil tankers, right? We seem to commandeer oil tankers fine. We do that all the time now, apparently. We just go out and just commandeer an oil tanker. Why is it that we're not going in and stopping these boats with the Navy, arresting them, testing the drugs, interviewing them, saying, maybe these guys are low-level traffickers that are getting paid a couple dollars to transfer drugs, whatever the drugs may be, let's find out. And then let's figure out where they're coming from all the way. Well, that would have been too easy. And maybe we would have got a different narrative. Maybe we wouldn't have gotten the same narrative that we were told. Maybe we weren't running fentanyl out of Venezuela. Oh, that's right. There is no fentanyl in Venezuela. There never has been. There never will be. There is no fentanyl production in Venezuela that we now know. And this is coming out. Families of two men killed in Trump's military boat strikes sue the U.S. government. This is an interesting precedent that I was very curious on this topic because nobody has talked about this at all, by the way. I haven't heard anybody talk about this. First of its kind in history, filed by civil rights attorneys on behalf of families, centers on an October 14th strike in the Caribbean Sea that killed six people. This is interesting here. Says civil rights attorneys filed this suit on a fishing village, two men from a fishing village in Trinidad who were killed in a U.S. airstrike on a small boat in Caribbean. The lawsuit, shared in advance with The Guardian, says that Chad Joseph, 26, and Rashishi Shamru, both of Las Cruces, Trinidad, were returning to Trinidad from Venezuela when they and four other people were killed in a strike. It was the fifth attack announced by the White House under Donald Trump administration against the small go-fast boats administration claimed were connected to cartels and fentanyl trafficking. Right? That's what we were told every single time. We're doing an airstrike. These guys are trafficking fentanyl. We've got to kill them. So there was no fentanyl. The suit was filed 4 days after the administration announced its 36th boat attack last Friday in the Eastern Pacific. The death toll of boat strikes is now at 117 people dead so far. 117 people we have done drone strikes on in international waters under the guise of then running dope. International waters well away from the United States. We're talking between Trinidad and Tobago and Venezuela. We're not even remotely close to the United States at this point right now. Just clarify that. The lawsuit says the strikes are illegal. They were premeditated, intentional killings lacking any plausible legal justification. They were murder, ordered at the highest levels of government, and obeyed by military officials in chain of command. Legal scholars said the strikes launched against civilians in boats from the U.S. are violations of domestic and international law. The Trump administration maintains they're legal. Under a secret opinion written by the Justice Department that argues the U.S. in an armed conflict with cartels, that the laws of war apply to any strikes at any point in time are deemed legal.
Whoa.
The suit over the October attack was filed at the Federal District Court of Massachusetts under admiralty law, which addresses maritime disputes and violations brought forth by Lanier Burley and basically the other individual's sister. It cites that the Alien Torts Act, which allows foreign nationals to sue in U.S. courts in certain cases, and Death on the High Seas Act. In a separate case in December, a family of Colombian national was killed in another one of the strikes, filed a human rights complaint with Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, part of the Organization of American States. The suit was filed 4 days. The case filed on Tuesday is a federal lawsuit filed in connection with the attacks. Little is known about the attack that killed Saru and Joseph. That day, Trump posted a video of a small open vessel floating in the water, not moving, when it was suddenly engulfed in flames. Then they talk about, okay, we're ordering lethal kinetic strikes based on vessels affiliated with designated terrorist cartel organizations. Trump said 6 male narco-terrorists aboard the vessel were killed in the strike. Did not explain which group authorities believe they're affiliated with. Did not mention what authorities believe they were either drugs or guns aboard. They just said it was a drug boat carrying fentanyl with a terrorist organization, so he killed them. And granted, I'm not diametrically opposed to that if all those facts are completely aligned in the fact that you're going to save American citizens' lives from an enormous amount of fentanyl being deployed on the United States. Okay? I'm going to clarify that. However, there have been no facts to prove anything otherwise. Just what all-powerful government tells us. And so here's the problem you start having with this now. When is it okay to start executing people with drone strikes in international waters? And I've said that 100 times. What happens to you now? You got a fishing boat. Oh, we've now deemed these guys. They're terrorists. Well, they're on a fishing boat. They're going sailfish sailing. It says sailfish fishing. Yeah. No, they got drugs on the boat. How do you know? Well, we just know. So we airstrike them. We got any evidence? Well, no. It's all blown up. Okay, so there's no evidence. It's just what this all-powerful state is telling us they did. This is a precedent that I'm very interested to see happen because, like I said, it's the first of its kind with a civil rights attorney filing suit on this. Because at what point in time does this become something that is just normalized? We start saying the government told us that these guys were bad, so they executed them. It kind of reminds me, oddly dark time in 1993 in a place called Waco, Texas, where ATF deemed it so that David Koresh, along with 76 other individuals that were left in a holdout, were terrorists, and they decided to deploy tear gas that was flammable after over 50 days of raiding them with psychological warfare and firearm raids and so forth, and you know the story, until they basically burned everybody to death because it caught on fire accidentally, allegedly, and they deemed it so because they were bad. Bad. These guys are bad, so we killed them. We protected the children by killing them because they were in a bad place. And I am not by any means justifying David Koresh's behavior with what happened over there at all. However, what happened to everybody, including the children, that entire botched raid and that horrific incident, is not justifiable because the government deemed it so. That's where I'm getting with this now. At what level do you start allowing this stuff to become normalized where you go, it's just the government being the government. When they come for them, it's not a big deal. Nobody speaks up for them. When they come for your neighbor, you go, oh, man, they're coming for my neighbor. What happens when they come to your house next? Sometimes they say, oh, we're going to start doing airstrikes on U.S. soil now because we deem these people narco-terrorists. How do we know that? We're just taking your word for it? Like you guys just batting 1,000 for 1,000 here? They just tell us the truth on everything? The same government that told us the COVID virus came from a wet market because somebody ate a bat and that this shot's safe and effective and you need to get it? Oh, that same government? Yeah. Just thought I would throw that out there because I found it to be a very interesting topic right now. Also, too, got a health topic I'm going to cover here since I'm switching gears. I got so many other things I'm covering today. It's an interesting article. It says, fish oil for your health. Another study, once again, is showing why fish oil is so healthy for the heart and is pretty much a mandatory aspect of it. It says omega-3 fatty acids found in fish and fish oil are now showing again to massively help reduce triglycerides and decrease heart attack risk. Recent evidence also suggests that omega-3s are lowering blood pressure. Imagine that. And it goes into detail in this article about why it's so important on here. And then it goes on to talk about how the research is showing time and time again that omega-3 fats are crucial for hormone production. They're crucial for brain health. They're crucial for heart health. They're crucial for overall lipid health in the body, and that they need to be taken on a regular basis. The biggest thing you've got to make sure you're doing is you're getting omega-3 fats in high doses, and you're absolutely trying to make sure you do not get any of these omega-6 fats at all, as much as you can, when it comes to like the canola oil, the corn oil, the soybean oil. We talked about this in detail on this show, because what's happened is now those oils are so inflammatory, they actually offset. They're showing now they actually offset a lot of the health benefits of omega-3s. So if you are getting exposed to these soybean oils and these canola oils, that means you need to take even more omega-3 fats, and you need to be taking even more anti-inflammatory supplementation like turmeric and like GHI cleanse to help reduce the inflammatory markers in the body that the the omega-6 fats are causing. Because at the end of the day, when I talk about it, I'm pulling up here, Old Norwegian omega-3, and all the other products we have, the omega-3 fats are what help the body. And then you throw in the super potent E, which is the mix of tocopherol vitamin E. That helps out with blood viscosity as well. It helps thin the blood. I've told you so many times, I've said this again, if you're having issues with high blood pressure, in most cases, you don't need blood pressure medication unless you're massively obese and you've got to get it down from a safe standpoint and get it under control and then come off of it. The problem is I've known people that are moderately healthy and their blood pressure will spike sometimes. Doctors immediately, you need to be on blood pressure meds. We filled a script for you. It's ready for you. Go pick it up. What's causing high blood pressure? Well, I don't know. You need to go on blood pressure meds. Well, could it be the 8 cups of coffee you're drinking first thing in the morning? Oh, gosh. Could it be the 6 or 7 Monster energy drinks you're drinking throughout the day? Possibly. Could it be that you're not drinking adequate water throughout the day? You're not drinking at least half your body weight in purified fluid ounces every single day? Could it be you're drinking too much sweet tea with an insane amount of sugar in it? Could be. Could it be you're using too much tobacco? You're using too much Copenhagen? You're smoking too many, you know, Marlboro Reds? Nicotine's vasoconstricting. It massively increases blood pressure. Try that one out. I told you guys years ago when I was using tobacco products. I used Copenhagen, snuff, all these pouches and all these flavored ones. I never understood all that. It was just straight tobacco for me back in the day. And I realized very quickly that it was starting to have severe health benefits on me in my early 20s when I was working construction. And I saw it with my blood pressure. I saw it with my gum and my teeth health. I'll be completely transparent with you guys. And I realized this was not something that was going to be beneficial for me long term. And I ended up stopping. And I used like the alpha lipoic acid, the B complex, and multiple supplements that we had at the time because we were limited to that. I didn't have a ton of vitamins at the office when I started working there. And I realized this is going to have negative benefits on me long term. What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? I'm using tobacco products. It's causing me blood pressure problems. It's causing me gum health. And is that okay? The answer was no, it wasn't. I was not willing to pay that price any further. Not for the short term buzz you get from nicotine when you're working outside. So I decided to quit. And I went on different supplements and basically just cold turkeyed it. Never touched it again. Been a very, very long time then. And what I realized was even at a younger age, even though I was healthy at the time, it was actually affecting my blood pressure when I went and got a checkup. And I realized very quickly, because what happened, fully transparent, what happened was I went to the doctor's office to get blood work. Because I always try to get, I've got blood work every year for I don't know how long, decade and a half now. And I had a bunch of Copenhagen in. On my way to the office, on my way to the doctor's office, and got out, spit it out, went inside, I mean, within minutes afterwards, and my blood pressure was elevated. And I'm lean. I'm like, I'm in the gym, I'm like 185 pounds, super lean. Why is my blood pressure up? I'm an athlete, yet I'm still using this product, which is a dichotomy right there in itself. And I asked the doctor, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, I had some caffeine this morning, and I also, you know, had a dip. And he goes, there you go. He was actually a decent doctor. He goes, that's over there. He goes, cut the nicotine and caffeine out. Watch your blood pressure get perfect. And it did. And so to this day, I still try to maintain it and keep it very good. And it stays great. If you have any other issues with it, from a cardiovascular standpoint, jump on a round trampoline. That is crucial. Getting on that trampoline as far as the circulatory system and the valves and the calves, as far as it help out with blood flow, return blood, is amazing. when it comes to helping out with circulatory health and decreasing blood pressure. Secondly, make sure you're drinking enough water. Make sure you're taking mixed tocopherol vitamin E and also a daily dose of omega-3s, whether it be the cod liver oil, whether it be the krill oil with the Himla, whichever one you want to choose. We have multiple options. You can call us up. We'll help you out as far as it'll tailor for you. And make sure you're staying off the vasoconstrictants and the heavy, heavy doses of caffeine. That's why with the purple sticks on here, we use the green tea extract. I don't use synthetic caffeine. Synthetic caffeine primarily is almost always brought out of China, which is in a lot of the products that are online, pre-workouts, that are on the energy drinks, almost always synthetic caffeine. Synthetic caffeine has a massive increase in cortisol and blood pressure compared to like green tea extract. Much, much different because the body can't handle it. It's toxic in most cases. And then you couple it with all these other energy stacks that they put in there, and they're all synthetic again, and it causes the body to get really, really inflamed, and it causes the blood pressure to go up and the vasoconstriction. And that is why I recommend making sure you're doing all these different things and checking them before you start going on blood pressure medication. Another one that a lot of people drink, they don't even realize it, I'm talking all the time, is soda. Sodas have caffeine in them. Sodas also have an enormous amount of sugar in them. Sodas also have phosphoric acid in them. I remember I talked to a guy years ago, great guy, and he was pretty good on his overall regimen. Wasn't using any of these products I talk about except for cola, soda, Coke, Coca-Cola. And he was drinking like 6 or 7 a day. We finally got to the bottom of it because I can't get my blood pressure under control. And I said, what are you drinking? Well, I'm drinking Coke all day. I said, drinking water? Not a lot of it. I said, well, there, A, you're dehydrated. B, you're drinking pretty good amount of caffeine all day. 3, taping a copious amount of phosphoric acid. So you're pulling the minerals out of your body, the magnesium, the potassium, the manganese, all those minerals that help out the heart and maintain healthy blood flow, you're excreting them out because you're stripping them out with your body all day because phosphoric acid in sodas massively pulls minerals out of the body because it's so acidic. When it hits your stomach, the body has to pull minerals out of your rest of your body, out of your tissue, out of your bones to neutralize the acidity from the phosphoric acid. That's why Coca-Cola, these sodas, are so bad, especially if you have osteoporosis. If you're a female and you're dealing with osteoporosis or osteopenia, you shouldn't even look at a soda. Don't even look at it. Just walk away from it. Don't touch it. Phosphoric acid will leach the calcium out of your bones faster than almost anything on the market on a daily standpoint. So again, stay away from those things. And that's why, you know, at Health Masters, I bring this stuff to you guys every single day, including my Fit Food, my purple stick in it, which I'm like a quarter of the way through. I'm going to make some eggs after this. Got to have my eggs in the morning. This morning I had too much stuff going on. The 3 to 4 eggs in the morning in organic butter, it's just great breakfast on it. That's why we have the best sellers here for you guys to try out. Actually, if I could get, there's a product, you know, as far as egg yolk lecithin that I'm trying to get out of Germany. It's organic, free-range egg yolk lecithin. Gosh, it's really hard to get, though. There are a couple suppliers that I know, but I don't. Most of the ones on the market that I've looked at aren't organic, and they're not free-range. They're trash. You don't want them. So there's one out of Germany that I'm trying to get a hold of now. It's just very hard to get. It's very expensive. That's why I like the beet juice powder we have. Another great product for blood pressure. That's from organic beets out of Germany with non-GMO, no glyphosate testing, as far as no testing of glyphosate in them, and they're unbelievably clean. And that right there is just amazing. Detoxifying the kidneys, the liver, and getting blood pressure down. That's a product that, I mean, it's, and I don't make like any money on this product. It comes out of Germany. It's unbelievably expensive to import. Only $45 a jar on anisin glass. It's clean as it gets, and it's straight up beet juice crystals. And a great product on here. You don't have to use a lot of it either. Really good for the blood pressure. And then the ones, this is like the end-all, be-all that does everything for blood pressure. So I'm getting a lot of emails. That's why I'm covering it. Is the HHA Stimulate. This is our nitric oxide effervescent formula with L-citrulline, with quercetin, with L-arginine in it. Not only does it help out with blood flow, not only does it help out with libido, does it help out with pumps in the gym. It really helps out with blood pressure. One scoop in the morning, one scoop in the evening, preferably on an empty stomach, or at least one of those scoops before exercise or pre-workout style, or while you're working out. It's also another good protocol that I love all the time. This product, the reason why the reviews are so good on it is because it works. Circulatory function, strength, energy in the gym. One thing that I've always found about this product, and I've gotten so much feedback on it, is that it gives you natural, sustained endurance in the gym without any stimulant. So if you're not trying to use any caffeine, you don't even want to touch the purple sticks or the green tea, this product is great as a stimulant without having any stimulants in it. Does that make sense? So thank you guys for the support. I just realized I ran the clock down. Thank you for getting us emails, giving us responses. Thank you for the reviews you give us. Team Health Masters, healthmasters.com. NAC on sale right now for 24% off. You guys stay strong and healthy. I appreciate you. I love you guys. Thank you for all the support. I couldn't do without you. Have an awesome evening. I'll be back on this show with you guys tomorrow, as always. Have a good evening, my friends.